BBC News is Marion Marshall. The prosecutor for the International Criminal Court in The Hague has asked judges to postpone the trial of the Kenyan president, Uhuru Kenyatta. Fatou Bensouda's request follows the loss of key witnesses. Mr. Kenyatta is accused of orchestrating violence after Kenya's 2007 elections. Anna Horrigan reports from The Hague.
The prosecutor says she has come to the conclusion that the case against President Kenyatta does not satisfy the high evidentiary standards required at trial. Essentially, this means what remains of the evidence isn't enough to justify proceeding with the trial. She has asked the judges for more time to see if it's possible to gather additional evidence. It means the first international trial of a sitting head of state is unlikely to go ahead as scheduled on the 5th of February, if at all.
The United Nations says youths from South Sudan's second largest ethnic group, the Nuer, have forced their way into a UN base to attack civilians who had sought refuge there. A UN spokesman, Farhan Haq, said he feared there had been casualties at the compound in Jonglei State. Tens of thousands of civilians have taken shelter in UN bases. Rapidly escalating violence linked to rivalries between the Nuer and the Dinka majority has raised fears that the world's newest country could slide into civil war. President Putin has made a surprise announcement that the jailed former tycoon Mikhail Khodorkovsky could soon be freed. The president told reporters that Mr. Khodorkovsky had asked for clemency. One of the president's spokesmen, Sergei Markov, told the BBC that Mr. Khodorkovsky had acknowledged his guilt. Bridget Kendall reports.
Mikhail Khodorkovsky is seen by many as Russia's most famous political prisoner. Once an oil magnate and Russia's richest man, he fell out with President Putin and ended up in prison, convicted of fraud, theft and money laundering. So the announcement today that President Putin plans to release him on humanitarian grounds came as a shock. It may indeed be part of a campaign to improve Russia's human rights image ahead of the Sochi Olympics in February. But perhaps it's also a sign that Mr. Putin thinks his own grip on the country is secure.
Two British Islamists have been found guilty of murdering an off-duty soldier in broad daylight on a London street. A jury took just 90 minutes to convict Michael Adebolajo and Michael Adebowale of killing Fusilier Lee Rigby in May. The court heard they knocked him down with their car and then attempted to hack his head off. The British Prime Minister David Cameron welcomed the verdict.
The whole country united in condemnation of what happened, and I'm sure everyone will welcome these verdicts today. I think it also shows that we have to redouble our efforts to confront the poisonous narrative of extremism and violence that lay behind this, and make sure that we do everything to beat it in our country.
World News from the BBC. A rescue operation is underway in central London after a theatre roof apparently collapsed mid-performance. Police say there are a number of casualties. A eyewitness at the Apollo Theatre said she heard a crackling noise and people in the upper tiers started to leave. She said almost immediately plaster started falling amid big clouds of dust as the ceiling seemed to crumple. The American ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, has said it's essential that those behind sectarian violence at the Central African Republic be held accountable. Ms. Power was speaking after meeting the country's interim president, Michel Djotodia, and other leaders in the capital Bangui, where she also visited victims of the attacks. The U.S. envoy said the tales of horrific abuses in recent days were spine-chilling. The Cuban government has eased restrictions on the sale of cars, allowing private individuals to buy new and second-hand vehicles without the need for special letters of permission. The government said the controls imposed after the revolution were now obsolete. Sarah Rainsford is in Havana.
It was a privilege accorded to certain workers and officials, top athletes or artists. Now those permission letters have been scrapped in another step towards freeing up the economy here. One reason is that the letters were so sought after, they were being sold illegally for thousands of dollars. The state will maintain its monopoly on retail sales, and vehicle prices are expected to be high, out of reach for many Cubans. The government says the money raised will be used to develop public transport on the island, which is currently very limited and poorly maintained.
A judge in the United States has said a white man who shot and killed a drunk black woman who knocked on his door late at night should stand trial for second-degree murder. Judge David Turf rejected the argument that he was acting in self-defense. The woman was apparently seeking help after a car crash. The case, in a Detroit suburb, triggered protests. BBC News.